broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, February the 17th, or February, however you want to pronounce it. 14 minutes past the hour, in studio with the Wheeze. Formerly Weasel Boy on WNZI and many other things.
Yeah, I've been called a lot.
I mean, what on radio? Have you ever been on any other radio but this station?
After
the NZI run?
No.
So what? What do you want to be called?
Oh, I don't care.
Because I think if on radio, if I don't call you Weasel Boy, people are going to have no idea who I'm talking about.
How about Daddy?
I think we'll pass.
Come on, just let me hear it once.
No, you won't hear it any.
Just
the phone lines are open, by the way. Do you have friends listening? You don't have any friends, darn it.
You just said I don't have any friends.
We ain't going to hear from anybody.
We're friends, I feel
but
like.
But I'm here.
Call.
Yeah, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you're out there and you have a question about anything or anything else going on that I've talked about that is of substance. I understand the last hour was not very substantive.
I thought it was great.
Well, it was fun. I hope people were entertained by it.
They just got, I lie.
Well, and maybe we might have a guest in our last hour this morning, next hour. Abby might be coming in to do our Dear Abby segment what do you call this? Advice.
What kind of advice?
Well, we can't get to it yet. Well, if she doesn't show next hour, we'll give the advice.
Do you want me to give people advice?
I wouldn't take it.
I'll give it.
But it is what it is.
All right.
All right, let's get into this here. Oh, we had a question this morning. By the way, people love the Family Feud. If anybody was out there this morning, the Family Feud question was, who are the toughest presidents? Because Monday is President's Day.
Yes.
Now, the answers we got in hour number one, Reagan is number one, Teddy Roosevelt's number two, Nixon was number four, Lincoln was number five, and Washington was number seven. But we still have three and six. Still two presidents on the list. 740-383-9944. Who were the toughest presidents?
What do you mean? Like fist fighting?
I mean, it's a very vague question. And how Reagan ended up at number one, I think, is a question mark.
Policy, right?
Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall.
Yeah.
Probably. So we got Reagan, Teddy Roosevelt, Nixon, Lincoln, and Washington. So there you go. Any other presidents who might have been tough, we still have number three and number six. 740-383-9944. All right, so what's on your mind this morning?
I don't keep a lot in there.
So that's all you got?
What do you mean that's all I got?
That's all you brought to the show here today.
What'd you want me to bring?
I thought you'd have some brilliance there or something.
Spontaneity is my brilliance.
Well, let's get to the topics of the day.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
No.
All right, here we go. The big news yesterday that Ryan Seacrest is going to be leaving the live with Kelly and Ryan.
So why is he leaving? A controversy?
Well, I don't know. Why is he leaving?
I heard that she's hard to work with, but that's the only thing I've...
I wouldn't go on that show. I would hate her. I just can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, you know, you can feel her energy through the TV. How long was he there? 5 years, something like
that? Was he?
I don't know.
That's a hard time. Why does he need her?
I don't know. He's got to be like that too, though, right?
I don't know. I don't really like him either.
See?
Do you?
No, they're not relatable. You can't relate to somebody with that lifestyle and that show. I don't...
Why would anybody want to watch that god-awful show?
Did you watch it with Regis on there and Kathy?
Yes, Regis and Kathy Lee, I thought were, you know, I could understand that.
They were relatable, just a different generation, I guess, but...
Yeah, but Regis was—he was born to do television.
He was, and he wasn't egotistical to me. Like it wasn't about them. I think these guys nowadays, the host thinks they're famous, and then it's just a mess.
I just don't like Kelly Ripa. I wouldn't like her on anything.
No,
there's something about her. And then I think it was proven out later on when what was the guy who was there after Regis? Strahan. He left. And there was
right.
a big fight.
Yeah.
And then Seacrest now is leaving. Regis left, and then she wrote some nasty things after he died in a book about Regis that they never were never really close and blah blah blah. We're getting a call, so don't move and don't say anything bad.
Man.
Go ahead, caller.
Are you John the President?
We got it. Give us an answer.
I've got two. There's so many of them. I'm going to say George Bush or one of the Adams. John Quincy Adams or John Adams.
Now George H.W. Bush or George W. Bush?
She said Bush.
The old man. George
H.W.
Yeah, H.W.
Not on the list, but not a bad guess.
And none of the Adams either?
None of the Adams on the list.
Okay, did you say one of them had, they had the same name? Like there were, like Adams or Bush, there's, you know, there's two of them, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I didn't say that, but I said there are certain presidents that would fall in that category.
Oh, I thought you meant like one of them would be, you know, like the Bushes would be one of them. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it could be. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I didn't say that. It's not the Adams. Let's put it that way.
What was the other one?
We lost our caller. 740-383-9944. All right. So, again, the toughest presidents. Reagan was one. Teddy Roosevelt, two. Nixon was four. Lincoln was five. Washington was seven. Who are the toughest presidents? 740-383-9944. Now, I had to give you the hand there. The off-camera hand. Stop.
Listen, I've never heard it pronounced like that.
Stop. No.
No, but it's interesting. I think it's... I'm not making fun of a Bush.
Yay, yay.
George Bush.
Okay, anyway, Ryan Seacrest.
What about him?
There's rumors about him as well.
Oh, like... I don't know. You know what? It's hard being like a... fit, attractive guy. Like, it's just hard
is he
for
that?
Us.
I don't even know. Is that what Ryan Seacrest is?
No, I'm just trying to be relatable.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, he's pretty private, so you'll never know, probably. Even if he, like, nobody's going to come out.
Well, what is the story? He's going to go out and do American Idol and a radio show?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't even watch Idol anymore. I mean, that thing's... like beating a horse, man. Like, that's weird.
Isn't the truth that they just don't like Kelly? I feel that's what it is.
That they just don't like Kelly Clarkson?
No, Kelly Ripa.
Oh, Kelly. Oh, we're going back to her. Okay.
Well, she's had all those hosts.
But why keep her then? I think at that point you need to flip
well,
it.
Well, she's got seniority at this point.
You can't trust very thin people.
Well, I just don't like her. She's got kind of that...
I'm better than everybody.
Well, I don't know what you really would call it. You know, she's always... she's got that... her husband's going to take over the show. I bet the ratings will go through the roof right there. You never put a husband and wife on the air together.
Hey, I've done that before.
Yeah, well, yeah, we saw how that turned out.
It was great. It was one of the best moments of my life.
No, you never do that.
Right.
Because you're either too comfortable with them and people don't care... because it's too much.
Okay.
Or you're not comfortable enough.
To be honest. And
yeah, that
yourself.
you wouldn't do things with them that you would do with somebody else.
Right.
So there's no tension. Yeah, and that's true. And that's why, you know, people used to think that Regis and Kathy Lee were married.
They acted like they were married.
Right, but they weren't. And they didn't spend the night, so they didn't know everything about each other. So that's why the show, we're here an hour together a day. And that's why it works.
And that's kind of like us.
Okay.
We act like we're married.
I don't think we do.
Are you married yet? Like, so it's
oh,
been,
here we go.
That's just transition here.
No, we're talking about Ryan Seacrest.
Because the last time, nobody cares about him. Listen.
Oh, they certainly do.
No, they don't.
That's the front page of the New York Times
just
today. That Ryan Seacrest
drama.
It's on the front page of the Times.
Is there a special somebody in your life?
We're not talking
Have
about
you
things
kissed?
Like this. Hey. This is not about me.
It is.
No.
You said I could ask anything. You've even invited people to call into our program here.
I did. Not our program.
Your
my program.
Program
with you as a guest.
That's what I meant.
Right.
I'm just sitting here, but because you had a brain lapse to have me in here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Aneurysm, maybe.
Okay. So, who is it?
My question is...
This is one-sided, Scott.
Kelly Ripa is a problem, is what we've learned.
But then why would the network? It can't be more than seniority. It's got to be maybe contract and money.
Well, but now, really, do you think she and her husband, that's going to work? Because that's the announcement. Ryan Seacrest is gone, so now nobody else will work with her but her husband.
No, that's a feel. Oh, that kind of makes you sick. Like, kind of feel like you.
What's his name?
Well, you just asked, and my wife will text it too. Is his name like Mark or something?
Mark.
Ruffalo, Mark.
I don't know, but I could care less. And I didn't watch the show before, so I won't watch it now.
Well, what's his deal? He was a soap opera guy.
Yeah,
right?
What is that? Why do we have to have soap opera guys on the show?
Drama. You can't put two pretty people like that that are married, and they're not even. I don't even think she's good looking.
No, she looks like a little. She's been
like
through
Geico-ish.
The ringer.
Yeah, like weird.
She's been through the. What'd you say?
Geico-ish.
Geico-ish.
Like that little. But he's cute though. You know what I mean? But I don't know what I'm saying.
She's been through the ringer. It looks like.
Yeah, kind
you know,
of like the
like
wrong
she's
way.
She's too old to be trying to look like she looks.
She's trying to age gracefully. I respect that, but it just does. It never works out.
There comes a point where you just have to start dressing and acting like a certain age.
Yeah.
And she's past it.
Because, like, I don't know. Maybe we'd have to see her in person. I've never met her, so I don't.
No, I've never met Kelly Ripa either, but I just can't. She doesn't have any gravitas, but of course, I guess for that little show, you don't have to have any.
You don't have to have, yeah.
I'm surprised it's still on the air, to be honest.
So maybe he's out. Maybe that's going to be the major announcement. Because, to be honest with you, I didn't even know it was still on.
Well, yeah, he left, and now we're going to get
Mark Cuban, or whatever.
Well, yeah, her husband, Mark. So that's that. And also, I tell you, that daytime landscape's clearing right out because a few weeks ago, Dr. Phil said he's out after this year.
Did you watch Dr.
Nope.
Phil? See, I didn't watch any
nope,
of that
don't
either.
Understand that show either.
I feel like, yeah. Well, so who's going to replace Dr. Phil?
I don't know.
You could do it.
I could do that, but I don't. Not that type of show.
Why?
Like, giving out advice?
Yeah.
No.
You give me advice all the time, Scott.
Yeah, but do you think he was right in his advice? I still don't believe he's a doctor.
I don't either. There's no way he... But so Oprah, he doesn't get along with her anymore, right?
Yeah, they don't see eye to eye. And oh boy, it wasn't... That last election was brilliant when Dr. Oz was running for office there in Pennsylvania. And Oprah came in the weekend before and endorsed the other guy. I thought, well, that's just...
That's a smack in the...
You know,
yeah.
Oprah saying, hey, here you go. Cross me. You don't cross Oprah.
No, you don't. She's got enough money to make you... Miserable.
And Dr. Oz really put the kibosh on him.
Yeah, he
or,
did.
Or he got the kibosh put on him.
He didn't
Oprah.
Even come close, did he?
No, and I think it was strange that people thought he would win. They were worried. Because he had a name, I guess.
He does, and that sometimes helps.
But Oprah, I think, saved the day.
She flies in, what'd you say, the weekend before? That
weekend before.
Of, yeah.
Weekend of.
Oh, she killed him. Poor guy.
Now, why do you think she did that? Because in the beginning, she said, I'm not going to get involved. And then the Friday before, she endorses the other guy.
It has to be behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, maybe there's conversation, something happened. Like, something sparked her emotions well enough that she's going to go get on that plane with Stedman, Gail, the puppies, and go endorse this other guy.
I think Dr. Oz started to say things that she wasn't comfortable with.
Right. So then she had to go make that right. So.
And she did.
Maybe she was forced into that.
Well, it was interesting. I'll say that.
Is she still with Stedman, though? You won't answer anything about couples.
Well, I don't know anything about them.
Why don't you look that up?
Well, I don't care.
You seem like you'd follow Stedman before anybody else.
I don't even know who Stedman is.
That's Oprah's boyfriend.
Oh,
right?
I know he's... Yeah, but who is he? What does he do?
I think he's just cast typed as Oprah's boyfriend.
Do you really need anything beyond that?
No.
You're set up for life. You're Oprah's boyfriend.
Yeah, and he never got her pregnant. He doesn't get child support.
Clearly, Oprah is against marriage.
Maybe just the concept of marriage.
Maybe.
But that means she's never struggled. Like, if she's known people that fraud the food stamp system, they would not be married for that reason. Maybe that's it.
Could be. Dr. Phil retiring. Good or bad?
Good. You need fresh. I think it's time to revamp. You know, sometimes things get stagnant. I don't know. And then people have political stuff on them. Yeah, get new people in there. Middle-of-the-road people.
So who's going to be on during the day now with no Kelly and Ryan and no Dr. Phil?
I don't know. It's scary nowadays when something opens up because there's so many. The internet, TikTok, Instagram, they've made all these people famous. So it leaves room for stuff that wouldn't be necessarily traditional for that time slot. Maybe throw it at the wall and see what sticks kind of stuff.
And Ellen?
But
she's gone.
Yeah. What do you think about Twitch, man? What do you think?
That was all depressing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't mean to bring it up like that, but I just wonder. That goes to show you can have money, fame, like all this
suicide.
Stuff. Suicide.
Yeah. It was just a suicide.
Yeah.
At Christmas time.
But I wonder what the, and it's none of my business, but I wonder what was so bad that.
You know, I don't know, because it was very
hard.
It was within a year of the end of his show. Well, not really his show, but the show he was part of. The Ellen Show. It'd only been off the air, what, 5 or 6 months?
Yeah, do you think that show is keeping him mentally focused, though? And then, because, you know, like when you're on a good show, maybe TV or whatever it is, and that stops, that's got to be a hard transition. Even for athletes, that's a hard transition.
Well, see, that's why I think that can't be your life. I don't think a show can be your life.
It becomes ego, your life, your money, your identity, and that's scary.
But you got to be ready to go at any time. Because you got to be good in the way you go. You want to depart well.
I think so.
You want to have a good last episode, but you don't want, clearly the Twitch situation to happen.
It's just so common now, it's scary, you know, and it's.
But money apparently doesn't have anything to do with that.
I'd give it a shot, though, boy.
Would you would.
Yeah, you know, and I'm different now with my age with money. I think before, you know, I was going to be selfish, young guy, Lamborghini, the house, all that stuff. But now I think I'd give a lot of it away. I'd go pay off school lunches, like kids, anything to do with that. I think.
What do you do with the money off the hot dog truck?
Well, this was our first year, so we just reinvested back into the hot dog truck. So.
Well, that's good. So yeah. Where are you at with this thing?
Like all the time, so we post a schedule, we have social media, but we could be from anywhere from Gahanna to here in Marion, we could go Delaware, but all over in Columbus a lot. We do a lot of the schools, especially Grove City, we do it, and that's close to our house, so.
You should have brought a hot dog and a peep pop today.
I should have. I didn't realize that pop was real when you were talking about it earlier.
Oh, yeah, it's real.
My wife texted me and she said, yeah, he's. I don't.
Why would I mix that up?
Well, I don't know. You like to lie about sugary things.
Not really.
Like sweet things. Like anytime I ask you about being sweet or whatever, you just don't talk about it.
Well, in regard to certain things, yes, but never soda.
I thought maybe it was early in the morning. Maybe you were on a new medication or something and just didn't. You misspoke.
Do you have an answer for this question? The
yeah.
Toughest presidents, Reagan #1, Teddy Roosevelt #2, Nixon #4, Lincoln #5, Washington #7, 3 and 6 are still on the list. You can call in and give us an answer. 740-383-9944. What do you think?
What about Jimmy Carter?
No, Jimmy Carter is not on the list.
Okay. You can't say a modern day. I think those guys are too controversial. So somebody can't just throw out like Donald Trump or like a Obama or because they wouldn't be on the list.
I can't say. You had your guess, Carter. Carter was not on the list.
I'm just going off the people. Garfield.
Garfield. No, Garfield's not on the list. Reagan's one. You mean like the cat?
Yeah.
Okay. Teddy Roosevelt's #2, Nixon's #4, Lincoln's #5, Washington's #7. Who do you think is the toughest
vacuum guy.
Toughest president?
Herbert Hoover. He's on there. He's tough.
Now I wonder if our friend is listening out in Idaho. Lewiston, Idaho. 21-year-old Calvin.
Idaho.
I bet he's not a fan of yours.
Yeah, he is. I know everybody that I've ever
21
met.
21 years old.
No, listen. Everybody named Calvin. I've met 4 Calvins in my life, and they've all been really, like, Calvin-y nice.
You know, I wonder if there's anybody who actually listened to you out there in the audience.
No, but their name's Calvin, yeah. Because I get along with anybody named Calvin or Cowley. Anybody like that, I get along with.
Because some of our devoted listeners are probably in that age category. They would have been around when you were on the air.
Maybe, and they regret that. But that was probably a good time in their life.
I don't know if anybody... What was your best prank that you... What was your best bit?
Man, I don't know, Scott. Like, I've broken all my bones in my body.
Right, and how did that happen?
Well, just different. I was pushed. I was blindfolded and then pushed down like a black diamond ski hill and then hit a ramp. And then that broke my legs. When I had to flip the car in the cornfield, that broke my leg because my leg came out. It, just crazy stuff. Hitting poles. I've been shot, tased, maced. So it was more like that Jack, that show, you know, that Johnny Knoxville kind of thing.
So really, like, peep pop would be very minor.
Yeah, but you would have to add something to the peep pop in Columbus. Like, so you would have to add, like, something disgusting to it.
But isn't
but you could just try it.
Isn't it disgusting enough?
I don't know, because if you like... So what kind of pop is this? Pepsi?
I believe so. Pepsi
like
product.
Like a normal Pepsi?
Yeah, yellow bottle, but it's peep flavored.
So what's a... I'm trying to think. Peep's a marshmallow with a sugary...
Yeah.
So Pepsi's sweet anyway, so what you would just throw in a little bit of peep syrup. Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be good. I'd be afraid to try
like
it.
Like the male peeps, though, taste different than the female peeps. Like the blue and the pink.
Really?
Yeah. To me, they do.
I don't like the peeps, so I wouldn't know.
You have to set them out like I told you what we do in the house, and you have to wait for them to get stale.
Stale.
Yep.
And that's the way to eat a peep.
Like, you have to tap it on the table like that, and it's ready.
Really?
Yeah, they're really good like that.
Hmm.
Yep.
Doesn't sound very good.
Hard peep.
What do you do for Easter?
What do you mean?
Easter, the holiday.
Nothing.
It's coming up.
Is it?
Like a month
ago.
Oh,
we just had Valentine's Day, too, which that's
how did
damn,
that go?
We don't celebrate. We went to the casino.
Oh, good.
Yep. We donated some money there, had a nice dinner. The wife got to spend quality time with who makes her lucky, and then that's it. Who'd you spend it with?
Well, I can't really get into that.
You can.
We're going to be talking about.
Huh?
This is not what we're going to be talking about.
Did you...
What do you make of the people who do the TikToks? Like the husband and wives are on TikTok and all that.
I do that.
See?
No, not like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of them, they got to do well. I mean, look at some of the people have 1 million followers, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. If it's entertaining, I'll watch it. But you got to be careful because you could sit there, start watching this stuff like at 8 o'clock at night. And then like 1 o'clock in the morning, you realize, oh, my God. It's addicting, so...
See, I just can't even imagine caring enough to watch it.
They become like little sitcoms to people, I think. And then you become part of these people. Like, you become really obsessed with it. I think that's what happens. And it's generational. I know people and, like, young kids all the way up to, you know, older people.
That enjoy this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Too.
You see a lot of seniors. You see a lot of people with... It just exposes you and allows you to see how other people live, even with disabilities, different ages, different races, and you can really get exposed to that and see that your way is not always the right way.
Now, we had an interesting thing happen this week on this station. Now, our mayor, Mayor Schertzer, mm-hmm. is not going to run for office again.
Okay.
This is his last term after 16 years, and the Democrats, the Democrat who's running for mayor announced on this show this past week. Now, there are two things about this person. Number one, I believe, unless somebody can tell me different, they are the oldest person who's ever run for mayor, 76 years old.
Okay.
And also, they are a self-professed atheist, which they said on the air. Now, the question is, do these things hurt this person running for mayor in Marion, Ohio?
In this city, they do. Because Marion's based off... To me, Marion's always been conservative, very Republican, even though, I mean, Mayor Schertzer, he's Democratic, because... You know, city voting is different than urban or rural voting. But, yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of religious beliefs. Take the amount of churches in this town. Take Christianity. It's a big, you know, one nation under God. They take the national anthem series here, everything. So if you're trying to help your chances and that's who you are, just don't say anything at that point. But you don't want to lie to your constituents. You want to be transparent. But, yeah, I just don't think that's a good fit for Marion.
Well, I don't think you can hide your age.
Not your age, but you can hide. I don't think you should hide being an atheist either, but I just, you know, you got to know your city. Is he from Marion?
No, not from here. I think he's lived here for 19 years.
Well, I mean, that's that point, but I don't know. I just don't think that's what Marion's looking for.
So you think this is going to be an automatic downfall just because of those two things?
Well, I think if you're trying to be middle of the road, announcing that you're atheist really puts you off to the left side of things, not necessarily... the right side, and you know, like I said, Marion is a pretty religious city. It's, you know, I went to Epworth Methodist Preschool, and not that you push religion on anybody. I would never do that. Do I go to church? No, I do not. But I'm just saying.
Let's get you in here you don't live here. Darn it! You could have been the next mayor.
You don't want me to be mayor.
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
I don't know. I care about Marion, though. I feel like I would do a good job, but I just don't know enough about the policing, the laws, like all of that.
Well, here's another thing that's interesting, and I was talking the other day about this on the air. This is the first time I can ever remember, and even before my time, doing history on this, that anybody, all the candidates running, both of the candidates running, well, there are three, two on the Republican side, one on the Democratic side.
Okay.
None of them have ever been on city council. None of them have ever been elected to anything. The next mayor is going to be completely new to that whole system.
I just don't think that's the good fit. You want experience, you want knowledge, but you also want somebody from Marion that understands Marion, that understands the community, whether you're from north side, south side, east side, west side of Marion, you got to understand everybody.
Well, the Republican front runner is Bill Collins, who was the police chief. So he's, you know, that's a, but it's not an elected office.
Right.
And it's not city council, and it's not the legislative branch. So none of these people have ever been involved in real city legislative government.
But the chief of police works, I think, closest with the mayor. I mean, ultimately, the mayor is the chief law enforcement officer. So, I mean, if you're talking about experience, factually, you have to give it to Mr. Collins.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Mayor Schertzer had been on city council mm-hmm. when he ran, and Mayor Kellogg had been on city council before he ran. Doc Brown before him had been on city council. They all had. This is the first time. And I wonder why nobody on city council ran.
Why do you think?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
They don't want the job.
No. Nobody wants that job.
No, it's become a different type of thing, I think.
It's not a... Do you think it's a kind of gone to the negative?
Well, I look at like Dr. Oz, and I kept saying this during that race, and I'm not against Dr. Oz, but what qualification does he have?
That's the question you
need to be a senator.
That's none.
And what qualifications do you need to be a mayor? What qualification? Why do people start out so high now? Used to be you'd start out as like city council.
Yep, and work your way up.
And our school board or something like that. Now people want to start at the highest office in the city or the highest office in the state. They just want to come.
They
don't understand
what they want when they want it. Yeah. I don't think there's any accountability. There's, you know, with social media too, everything seems so more realistic. It's not like, you know, back when we were young, we had a home phone, we had these different things, but to really, even somebody being famous, nobody's really even famous anymore because there's no mystery. There's just not. Anybody can be famous. Anybody can be on the radio with a song. Anybody can do these things, and it's just, it's everything's so easy accessible, and so you think that, hey, if I want to be mayor or if I could be president, let me go do it.
But don't you see talent versus non-talent? Now,
yes.
See, that's the difference that is still there.
Some people do. I don't think everybody does.
I don't know, because, for example, like if I look at something on the internet that is meant to be entertaining to other people, I can tell that those people have no... There are certain rules
right.
about broadcasting and acting and all those professions that you need to know to make a show look somewhat professional.
You're basically saying not anybody can just do this.
No, but they think they can.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
They all think they can. And then they get in there, and they think, boy, that was great, and it looks horrible, it sounds horrible, it is horrible.
Right. It usually is. And we've all been a part of, you know, stuff like that when I first started. And even that show like we talked about on WDIF when Mike let me bust in illegally and do, that was terrible. You know what I mean? We've all made, but, you know, you have to have a natural instinct to do stuff like that. You know, you just can't throw everybody into it.
No, and I think that's the misconception that people get. But I think that's a misconception in all lives. Years ago, members of my family were opening up a wine shop. And I kept saying, who's in the wine business there?
Yeah.
You know, none of them had ever been in the wine business. So I thought, they studied it. They got it open. They got all the proper permits and paperwork. But it was open less than a year. Because none of them knew anything about running a wine shop.
And that was your question.
Yeah,
what do you know about this?
And I don't... Why is broadcasting a different profession than that? What do you know about this? Where have you worked? What have you done?
Right. Experience. And that we're just in a different time where people can just jump from one thing to the next without experience.
But there are some people who can come out
sure.
and are just naturally good.
Right.
But most aren't. And they don't realize it.
Because, I mean, people get lied to all the time. We lie to people all the time and say, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's great.
Yeah, but you know...
I try not to, though.
But not too long ago. I mean, there was a person who I know, who has tried many times to launch something on the internet, which I have no problem with because I think internet is where it's all moving. But every time they do it, there are things I think they don't understand about. Like, number one thing is they'll throw on these programs but never tell you when they're on. You know, we're going live in 5 minutes. Well, anybody who didn't see that has no idea that you're going live. There's no promotion into that. There's nothing. So what is that?
Lack of experience.
Yeah. And then they won't be on 24 hours. You know, you can't always tune into it.
Nope. That's that. You better be available. You're right.
You better be available. And so things like that happen, and I think, well, you know, that's your problem.
Can I ask a question?
Go right ahead.
But no matter what it is, you got to answer it.
No. But go ahead.
What'd you do for Valentine's Day? I'm getting a bunch of stuff saying people want to know.
Nobody cares.
Did you have a date?
Well, you know what? It's interesting that on Valentine's Day, we had two questions come up. Advice questions.
Okay.
One was, who pays if you have a date on Valentine's Day and it's a blind date or it's set up, who pays for the date?
Why does she have to be blind?
I don't know. Well, to date you, there's probably... That's one of the qualifications.
It's a blind date. Who pay? I don't know. Who invited? The man?
Woman?
But see, there's different... You could have man. I think you just go Dutch. Pay for...
See, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I think Dutch, because some people called in and said, well, it's whoever did the inviting.
Yeah, I see.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, if the man did not do the inviting and doesn't offer to pay, there ain't going to be a second date, no matter how well it went.
Yeah. Now, so Dutch, but that might be the same feeling, though, because no matter if you say, if you offer or whatever, you have in your mind the feeling of, oh, that should have been paid by me or not.
I think prior to the date, you better discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, get it out. Why make it awkward? Just say, hey,
I
got this.
Don't wait for the bill to come.
Yeah, because I don't mind, like, I feel like I would just say, hey, I've got this, I invited, or I'll get mine, or whatever, yeah.
So that was one of the big questions, and then the other question was, do you kiss on the first date?
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. You guys should end up in bed.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah, I think so. Well, if you're going out on a date on Valentine's Day.
And you never had any things going on with any of these groupies in Marion.
No, I'm just giving advice, though. So I don't say advice. I follow my advice.
Okay.
I'm just saying you guys should, I mean, somebody should be making kids.
So, in reality, should you kiss on the first date?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, yeah.
I don't think you should.
Yeah, you should kiss as soon as you show up. Like, on Valentine's Day, you walk open, like, they open the door, whatever it is, you immediately just thrust your lips on theirs.
Yeah.
It's got to be a
That's how
date.
You end up in one of those Me Toos.
No, it's not a Me Too. It's us together.
I don't think it is.
That's the new, it's
I
us
I don't
together.
Think a woman would agree with
Day,
that.
There is no Me Too on Valentine's.
Oh, there is Me Too on Valentine's. Ask Bill Cosby.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
There's always Me Too.
No, there is, but what I'm saying is, like, the bar drops a little bit low on only if you know that. I'm not saying strangers should just go and immediately start mouth kissing, but yeah, I mean, it's there.
I don't think you should.
You should expect it.
We had Bill Cosby on the show back in December.
Okay.
Do you think that was a good idea? A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people did like it.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion either. I mean, he's out of prison. I don't know.
He's out of prison.
You know, I wasn't there for all of that. I can have opinions and all of that. But, I mean, to have the man, like, I still think of him as the Puddin' Pop guy, Dr. Huxtable, all of that. So, if you want to have him on, have him on.
Well, my theory was, if Bill Cosby's going to come on your show, this cannot hurt.
Right.
Because whether you like him or dislike him at this point, everybody knows him, and he's a controversial figure.
Yeah, he is. And do I agree? If all of that stuff's true, no way. Like, he went to prison. Like, I don't... But as far as you having him on your program, yeah, he's controversial. He has something to say. He's no longer in prison. Whatever. Have him on.
So even if the stuff was true, you wouldn't have him on?
Well, obviously it was true, right? Because he went to...
I don't know. I mean...
But I'm saying he did his time. So at that point... He's out, and he's able to go on radio. He could have something to say that's of importance to somebody, so I don't know. It's not for me to say yes or yay or nay. You have an audience here that would want to maybe hear from something like that.
Well, it was national attention, so obviously other people cared about it.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, have him on.
But would you have him on?
Sure. Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah.
And what would you say to him?
Did they give you any restrictions?
Yes.
They did.
Yes.
Okay.
That we could not talk about the women because there were lawsuits pending.
Right. Okay. So then I would just go with the, you know, as growing up as a kid, like what I went through and that kind of thing. You know, how I felt. And, you know, you're still going to have that elephant in the room. You're promoting a great time that he made you feel great. He was a family guy. All of these things. And you're able to talk about that while your audience in the car, at home, across the country are going, ask him, ask him, ask him. And you can't do that. So that would be hard and make you feel like you're not doing your due diligence when, in fact, you can't.
Well, but interestingly enough, what made news out of that interview was the fact that he said he was going to try to do stand-up again in 2023.
Yeah, and that's why I'd want to have him on.
Right, and so it worked.
So, yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah, but see, you couldn't do one of those interviews that you do because he would never come on.
No, he would never, and I don't blame him for that because I wouldn't be able
to. Because he'd think you were not trustworthy and that you would go back on your word.
And I would.
Right, so there you go.
Because I've been at, you know, back down in Columbus, like, we had an opportunity with, it was P. Diddy or Puff Daddy at the time. I think, who else was it? Maybe Snoop? Something like that. But, well, so Patrick, he'll attest to this, too. Dave and Jimmy couldn't make this interview, so we came back later that day and we did it. Well, back then, Patrick acted, the whole bit was, he didn't know who they were, blah, 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 and all this stuff. Well, man, those two got mad, and we got blacklisted from MTV for like a year. So
what did you do?
So we ended up...
Because you didn't know who they were?
Yeah, Patrick were asking them very offensive questions, like he was coming at them a certain way and asking them stuff that he was mistaking them for other celebrities. And, you know, when you get that amount of ego in an A-list celebrity at that time, boy, it just was bad. It was a good bit. They hung up. There was some language, but when MTV called back, we put that on the air. And that was what the problem was. We had that whole litigation conversation on the air, and it was just exposed, and it was cool.
Well, you know what's interesting? Howard Stern has even gotten away from that type of radio.
Yep,
he does straight interviews now. Do you think that's a thing of the past now, that type of radio?
Yeah. Do I think it'll come back at some point? Maybe. But people are numb to that. Everybody's becoming desensitized to certain things. So the bar's almost to death. You know, you can only do certain things until you start to hurt yourself mentally, physically. So, yeah. And you know what? A lot of these cool people have things to say. And just to listen, as long as you're asking the right questions, interesting questions, I love watching that. I think that's very interesting. You learn a lot. Because you can all the time turn on the crazy, stupid, uneducated stuff. You know, I'm going to hurt myself. But to get to know somebody that you really admire and ask those important questions, yeah, I'd watch it.
Yeah, but what happened to those shows? Because those used to be the biggest shows in every market, and you tried to be crazy. But now, even those shows are very mild.
The corporate, like, you know, we went from J-Court to, we started to see with Clear Channel, where we would go out and wreck cars, you know, get shot, like, do these different things. Well, then Clear Channel started to, you know, the guys from Texas started to bring in lawyers, attorneys. Well, are they signing releases? Are they doing this? And then, you know, a couple of stations like Mojo in the Morning, they had people die, you know, doing certain things. And so then iHeart became in, and they're, you know, they're just commercialized. You got to do what they say, wear what they want. And it, you know, it's just different. So corporate, I guess, corporate and, you know, legal.
Like putting MTV on the air. Now, in hindsight, is that a bad idea?
No, I mean, it was real for us. You know, at the time, like, we made that decision, and, you know, was that going to kill us not having that relationship? No, as long as we had it with the record labels and everything. But MTV, we got some cool stuff, but it did burn a relationship with them, but they turned over staff like crazy. So, no, I don't know. I felt like those guys could have, like, handled that differently, like, played the humor with it, you know, or whatever, but it just wasn't a good day for them, so.
Now, was that the setup, though? We're going to not know who these people are, we're going to tick them off.
And they didn't know it.
And then we're going, but you can't predict that MTV is going to call you.
No, you cannot. So, it was funny because how you'd have to do that is patch your phone through the board, or, you know, MTV would always have our hotline number. So we would always do that interview in one of the studios with the phone access like that. And as soon as those guys hung up, man, Josh was calling us from MTV saying, this, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. We relayed that immediately to Dave and Jimmy, but it was the Morning Zoo at the time, and we didn't skip a beat from it. We got so much promotion out of that, and in fact, our suspension wasn't even a year. After like 3 months, I think we started to get people.
Now, but do you think the whoever it was who you had on would ever come back?
No. Here's the thing. Unless that person, because when they start doing those interviews, they've probably got like 50 a day. Not that many, but so many different call letters where they're from. Unless they specifically impacted them and asked and said, boycott me, then yeah, they wouldn't even know.
So, did it really hurt?
No. And in fact, I think it was one of those guys ended up calling back or saying apologize, because they weren't mad. They weren't the one that hung up the phone, but I can't remember which one it was. So
in your particular case, the guest was a prop.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Because at that point, you know, you got these guys, you can go on the line and look up any interview that anybody's ever done. They're going to be boring. Hey, what's your favorite this? The time you did this, or we saw this. So let's start having fun. And that's what we did, and we transitioned into having fun with the guests.
But did anybody ever turn you down? Because once you become popular and known for doing that, people would tend not to want to come on.
No, you know, we had a different effect from it. We had more people coming on that was more of a refreshing kind of, let's go have fun, and they would bring bits to the table. Like, I know Dana Bonaducci, we saw him out in the Grammys, and he said, let's have fun. And that, because he goes, I'm here all day, and he didn't say it like that. He had some language, but so what we acted like when he sat down, we acted like we had diarrhea, me and Jimmy, and we couldn't, you know, whatever, and just left him sitting there. And so we'd have fun like that, and they would bring their own ideas to the table, so we would do those too.
Now, can we call Danny Bonaducci a star?
No, we couldn't. But, you know, at the time he was talking, what was that show that was out when we talked to him? Their whole family had the Bonaduccis or whatever that was. But then he was talking about buying Percocet off this deal, like he was going off. So he was in his prime when we talked to him.
But do people remember those type of shows? Because when I think of shows that people remember, in Columbus particularly, it is more, probably not the highest rated shows, but it's the more serious
shows. I think you get them through their day. I think certain people, like, you know, they've come up to me, certain bits that I've forgotten about, they remember that impacted them differently, or certain things we've said or done that I couldn't even remember, so it impacts everybody differently. But yeah, you know, you talk to these celebrities, and do I think a lot of people care? Not anymore. I don't. You could say you're having this person on, this person, but they can go see that online, man. Go do something. Don't be predictable. Get them out of their daily lives and just be spontaneous. I think those are cool.
Now, you were on the air during 9/11, right?
Yes.
What was that like? You can't do that type of humor.
No, you can't. So we were on for the whole day. I was actually standing in the studio, and we were in charge of alerting the EAS that year. We were the contract. We had the initial send it over to Channel 4, 10, we had the codes, right? So all of a sudden, our control room was behind our station, and that EAS starts printing out, and then it has a little digital bar going on over that. And at that time, it wasn't giving us any announcement other than a plane wreck into the Trade Center. And as we're watching it live on TV, and then you just become aware of everybody in real time what it was, and it's just reliving that moment, what you felt, and then taking the calls. And it's just, I don't know, it's a weird moment for all of us. And as I've had, you know, kids, they're not even old enough to, they weren't alive when that happened. They're learning about it, and I still feel like it happened yesterday.
Well,
it's
yeah.
The weirdest, it's weird.
Well, somebody was asking me, we were going to have a guest at school, and I think we're still going to have a guest in a classroom. And the person was saying, I said, I don't know if asking questions, if the students asking them questions is going to be a good idea.
Right.
Because they weren't alive when that person was doing what they were doing.
Right.
And this person could not fathom that a high school kid right now was not born in 2001.
That's the situation I live in. I've got a freshman, and then our oldest, he's a firefighter in Georgia, and he was just being bored at that time. And you just look at Jaden and Chase and go, how are you not alive during that? But asking those questions, like to be alive during something like that, you need somebody to ask that has that passion, that emotion. The whole world stopped.
But do you really think every interview is rudimentary, is the same? See, I don't think, I think some people you could look up and say, yeah, they're asking the same questions. But I think some people do ask different questions. It's not making a joke of the person, but it's just asking different things.
I guess, you know, with Top 40 Radio, what I was used to, we were the fast food of radio, basically playing all this music. So these folks would also be interviewed like that. They would get interviewed by the same.
Well, that's bad.
And that's bad. So it's just a cookie cutter environment. So that's kind of what I got used to. And they did. So when we would branch away from that, those folks on Top 40, specifically only those folks, would get a refreshing vibe, I think. And it was, I don't know, you know, you could say self-deprecating. Those folks would really be invited to it. You know, they would just make fun of themselves and be okay. Well,
because I think if you get a long-form interview, if you've got 45 minutes with somebody, you're eventually going to stumble onto something that they have not talked about before.
And see, and that's unfortunate. Like, fortunate for you, but in Top 40, we would get maybe 6 to 8 minutes with an A-lister. You could have, and you only had that much time anyways, because you're in a spot block, then you have a song, maybe two, but then you had to get content out there for your syndication breaks, you're, you know, saying this, we're local here, this, so you only had time to record that if it was during that morning.
But politicians do that.
They do?
Yeah, politicians are not going to give you 45 minutes if they're running for office. They'll give you 15.
Yeah, at most, yeah.
And you'll get them,
yep.
But you can still, there are those moments. Because a lot of people will not ask a question of them because they're afraid they won't come back on with them.
Right.
So I think it just depends.
And that's why those questions don't get asked a lot, too. And sometimes these people are afraid to ask those questions, but then sometimes people start asking them, and the people just ditch the interviews altogether. So you just got to be clever.
We got the Wheeze for one more hour. Stay tuned.
Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels.
Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see